Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Hey, I wanted to tell you something. I just thought about something, Dave, when I was looking at the passage you were preaching from. The prayer that's there in verse 29, it says, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. The prayer goes on to the next verse, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. And then the prayer ends. The one he just preached on. And you know how that prayer ends? By the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Which I thought was interesting. You know, the prayer ends with, in the name of Jesus. And that's what we need to be bold about. And I thought that was good. I appreciate that. You know, yesterday we talked about who protects the protectors. And we thank the Lord for the veterans and all those that were in the military. And we're thankful, excuse me, how the military protects us from foreign enemies. But you know what? I'm thankful for ministries that we just heard that protects us from domestic enemies. And you know what? We need to be praying, as much as we pray for the military, we need to be praying for ministries that we just heard about. And we really do. And we thank the Lord for you, Dave, and what you're doing, and continue to go, and continue to be bold. And that was a great report and message as well. It's good to have a lot of friends here tonight, and new friends that I made yesterday, and old friends as well. It's good to have Jamie and Tori with us. They're with Worldview Ministries, and that's about an hour and a half away, and they're learning to be translators of God's Word. You know, you can't be bold with thy Word until you have the Word, and there's many people that don't have the Word, and they're teaching national translators as well. It was great to have Jamie and Tori and their family with us as well, and many other guests and visitors as well. Now, I promised you a what tonight? A mystery tonight, a biblical mystery. Now, I want to tell you, it is a good one. It is a great mystery. We have to lay a little foundation to it in what we're going to talk about tonight. But I am going to tell you, if you take what you get tonight, you will never be the same in your spiritual walk with the Lord. It will help you, and I'll tell you the other thing about tonight's message. You will be able to help others with the truth that you're going to hear tonight. Now, the title of my message is, Who is Ahithophel? Who is Ahithophel, a portrait of bitterness? Now, we're going to look at Ahithophel, we're going to look at the portrait of bitterness, but before we do that, we got to lay a foundation about what bitterness is. To do that, we have to go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. So we're going to start there. Ahithophel's not found in Exodus. We'll tell you in just a moment where he's found. But we got to go back to Exodus to lay the foundation on bitterness. And trust me, as the message develops, you'll be glad that we laid this foundation. Sometimes people ask me, they say, Brother Shuttler, how do you get your messages? Where do you get your messages from? I always wonder when they ask that, like, well, what do you think? You know, the Bible, you know. But, no. How do you get this message? Well, obviously, if you're in a series or whatever, you're studying in that book or whatever. But sometimes, messages have happened and illustrations in my life, events in my life, and I thought, that'll preach. This one is very interesting. And really, the story behind this message does need to be told to you at the beginning. I was with a good friend in Pensacola. His name is Steve Rouse. Steve is a cabinet maker. And Steve is a godly man. And Steve and I would go out to lunch every once in a while. We'd talk about the things of the Lord and what we were studying, what we were doing in our own devotions or whatever. And we were at Fran's Diner in Cantonment, Florida, for one lunch. And Steve and I, while we were talking, Steve said this. He said, Brother Shuttler, have you ever studied Ahithophel before? I said, Ahithophel. David's kingdom, right? Somebody in David. He says, that's right. You know who he is? I said, oh, no, I just know he's in David's kingdom. I said, who's Ahithophel? He says, you got to study him. I said, okay, I will. Who's Ahithophel? He said, Brother Shuttler, amazing study. You got to study Ahithophel. So we ate a little bit more. We talked about some other things. And I said, hey, Steve, by the way, who's Ahithophel? And he said, Brother Shuttler, I mean it. You've got to study it out. It is an unbelievable story. I said, great. Help me out a little bit. Who is he? He says, you got to study it. We finish our meal. We go out to the parking lot. We go our separate ways. Just before we leave, I said, hey, Steve, before we leave, can I ask you something? Yeah, what, Brother Shetler? Who's Ahithophel? He says, you got to study it out. So some weeks later, I was in my study, had a little bit of free time, and I remembered the Ahithophel thing. Got my old Strong's Concordance out, brought it out, and I began a study on who Ahithophel is. And I will tell you, I think he is the classic portrait of bitterness in the entire Bible. And when I found out who Ahithophel was, I went, oh, wow. And tonight, you're in for a great mystery. But we have to start in Exodus chapter 15, and we have to start with the freedom that we have in this auditorium tonight. We need to start with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that these people who have come tonight, Lord, we don't want to keep them extra time, but I pray that every moment of this message will be profitable for their spiritual life. That, Lord, whatever it does take in these next minutes to develop this message, may it be life-changing, that tonight was an eternally profitable night. And Father, in a world and in a country that is so consumed with bitterness, may tonight we find the answer. And Lord, if there's one here tonight at Worth Baptist Church or one guest tonight that is struggling with an unresolved violation of their justice system, may tonight at Calvary they find the answer to their bitterness. And then, Lord, I would even ask, young and old, we would take what we hear tonight and use it to help others that may be, Father, a root of bitterness has sprung up in their own life. Father, I do believe that this is a message you wanted me to preach tonight. And Lord, amidst everything that's happened on this Veterans Day, Lord, give us attention. May the word, and it will be the word tonight, may it fall on good ground. And I believe only the Holy Spirit can make that happen. So in Jesus' name, may we have the good ground as the seed is dispelled. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there is a law in hermeneutics and study of the Word of God. Now, I call it a law. I'm sure there's some exceptions to it. But it is a very important biblical law in studying the Bible. It's called the law of first mention. Now, the law of first mention is this. Usually, wherever something's mentioned for the very first time, it is described, defined, and illustrated probably the best in the entire Bible. By the way, if that be true, that makes the first 12 chapters of Genesis maybe the most important passage of Scripture in the entire Bible. Because almost every major doctrine in the Bible is taught in the first 12 chapters of Genesis. And it's the law first mentioned. It's described, defined, and best illustrated. Well, tonight in Exodus chapter 15, we find the very first time in the Bible bitterness is mentioned. If you came into my office and you had a spirit of bitterness and you were struggling with bitterness, it would be Exodus chapter 15 that I would take you to, because I think that the entire answer to bitterness is found right here. Now, some of you that are in Exodus 15 right now are looking at this passage and saying, Brother Shetler, are you sure you got the right chapter? I got a little title over Exodus 15. It says Moses' song. Yeah, that's interesting, because do you know this is the first song in the Bible? We're talking about the first time bitterness is mentioned, the first song in the Bible. And by the way, the second song in the Bible is in here too. That's Miriam's song. This is right after they've gone through the Red Sea. And now we have the first two songs in the entire Bible mentioned right here. Moses' song and Miriam's song. Yeah, but Brother Shelley, we're talking about bitterness. Doesn't that tell you something? That we can go from singing the praises of God to bitterness within the same chapter. Isn't that amazing what bitterness can do? I mean, we started this chapter with the first song in the Bible. We end the chapter with bitterness. And folks, I will tell you, bitterness can spring up very, very quickly in our lives. Look, if you would, with me in Exodus chapter 15. The Israelites have just come out of the Red Sea, and it's been about a 3-day journey. The Bible says in verse 22, So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no, what, folks? Water. Now, let me ask you, is water important, yes or no?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is a big deal. Okay, this is a big deal here. So we're not saying, I'm not saying to the Israelites, come on, Israelites, what's your problem, man? No water, what's your problem? Don't know, water's a big deal. Water is a huge thing. They've got to have it, and they've got to have it soon. I am not criticizing them for their desire and their concern for water. What I'm criticizing them for is how they handled their lack of water. They became bitter. They became angry. Now, there's really not a lot of notes tonight to take. There's not an alliterated outline tonight. But there is a definition that if you have a pen and you have any place to write, I would encourage you to write this definition down. This is what I consider to be the definition of bitterness. And this is where we're going to see all the way tonight through Ahithophel's life. I would write this definition down. Bitterness, the unresolved violation of your justice system. The unresolved violation of your justice system. Now this is really cool because I've never had the chance to speak on bitterness after having someone come up and talk about justice. And this is so cool. Because as David Gibbs was speaking, did something churn in your heart? That's not right. What's going on with our country? That's injustice. That's not right. Now I'm going to make a statement tonight. I really believe it's true. I think the strongest emotion in man is the emotion of justice. When things are not done right, that is not right. That is not fair. That's not right what they're doing. I think that emotes more emotional energy than even love itself. We were created as beings of justice. When we were created in the image of God, we were created with a justice system in our hearts and our beings. And when things don't go right, and when things are not fair, our justice system flares up. And it says, that's not right. Now let me tell you two problems with our justice system. One, it's depraved. Our justice system, when Adam sinned, all of us were fragmented. We still have the image of God in us, but it's a fragmented image. So the justice system that we have in our heart is in the image of God, but it's broken. Perfect illustration. We really are not consumed with justice, we're consumed with fairness. And we just want to say, hey, this isn't fair. This isn't right. This isn't fair what's happening in our life. But we have a second problem with our justice system. We live in the subjective moment, and we don't see the end from the beginning. And we say, God, it's not right what's happening in my life. Matter of fact, Job's wife said, curse God and die. Tell God it's not fair. Job said, you speak like one of the foolish women speaketh. Shall we not receive good from the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this, he cursed not God. He never said, God, it's not fair, because he understood the justice of God is eternal. We look at things that happened in our life right now, and we say, this is not right what's happening in my life. But God says, hey, I got the end from the beginning going here, you know? I can see the whole thing. I know what's going on. Bitterness is the unresolved violation of your justice system. There is something that has happened in your life that you have a court case that you know is not right. This is not fair. This is not right. And you can't resolve it. You can't get it resolved. Hey, God, okay, you take us out of the Red Sea. But God, this is not right. We should have water. If you're going to lead us and you're going to care for us, we got to have water. God, it's not right that we don't have water. Look with me if you would. Verse 23. And when they came to Mara. Now Mara is the Hebrew word for what, folks?
Bitterness.
Bitterness. There you go. And when they came to bitter, They could not drink of the waters of bitter, for they were Marah. You could read it that way. It's the same thing. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. It's the same word. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Man, when they saw the water, they said, oh, okay, God, well, you better have brought us water. And they go down there and they start drinking. Oh, the water's bitter. Unresolved violation of their justice system. They already said, God, you better supply the water. Then they get the water and they go, oh, we can't drink this water. Now they're even more bitter. Now they're more unresolved in their mind that, God, this isn't right. Now look what happens. Because, folks, this is the answer to all of bitterness. And the people murmured. The root of murmuring is unbelief. I doubt, God, that you know what you're doing, and I doubt that you're good. Whenever somebody doubts authority, they will murmur against it. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, folks, look at verse 25. This is going to be the key towards the end of this mystery tonight that you have got to understand. And Moses, he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him, everyone together, what's the next word? A tree. The Lord showed him a tree. And do you know what that tree was a picture of? That tree was a picture of the cross. And the Lord showed Moses a tree. And he said, Moses, take the tree and throw it in the water. And when Moses threw the tree in the water, the bitter water became what? Sweet. Now, folks, I'm telling you ever come across someone with an unresolved violation of their justice system, you know where you take them? Take them to the tree. Take them to the cross. Because every bitter situation can be resolved at the tree. Amen. Now you say, well, Brother Shelton, you do understand that there's two kinds of bitterness. Yes, sir, I do. There's vertical bitterness and there's horizontal bitterness. You're right. Excellent observation. There is vertical bitterness between you and God. God, it's not right the way you made me. You gave me the wrong parents. You gave me the wrong health. You gave me the wrong body. You put me at the wrong time of life. You gave me the wrong siblings. God, you did me wrong. There is vertical bitterness, an unresolved violation, that accident, the loss, that miscarriage, that thing that's happened. God, I don't blame man. I blame you for what's happened. If you have vertical bitterness, go to the cross. Because when you go to the cross, you see what God the Father did for you. That he spared not his own son. My friend, how shall he not freely give you all things? If he gave up his son, who would suffer and die for you, that God the Father had to be separated from his son because of his love for you, let me tell you something. If you've got any vertical bitterness, go to the cross and you will see a God who loves you. And no matter what has happened in your life, you'll say, you know what, Lord? I have not been able to resolve this, but I know how much you love me. And I ask you to forgive me for the bitterness I've had towards you. And Lord, when I see the cross and I see what Christ has done for me, surely I know that you love me. If you say, you know, Brother Sean, I got to tell you, my problem's not with God. My problem's with man. There are individuals in my life. There are people that I work with. There are neighbors that I've had. There are past church members. There are people, there are family members that have hurt me and have done me wrong. Go to the cross. Because at the cross, if you have horizontal bitterness, I'll tell you what happens. You go to the cross and you see what Jesus did for you on that cross. And I say this, and I say this with all boldness. Whatever man has done to you does not compare to what you did to Jesus Christ. And if God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, you can forgive any person, anything that they have ever done in your life. My friend, I will tell you the answer to bitterness. It is the cross of Calvary. And if you have vertical bitterness, go to the cross and see the love that the Father had for you in giving His own Son. If you have horizontal bitterness, go to the cross and see what you did to Jesus and He forgave you. My friend, you can forgive anyone whatever they've done to you. The answer is the cross. Look at what it says. Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast in the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now there's the foundation of bitterness. One more time, I'm going to say the definition. I want you to say it with me. Bitterness, the unresolved violation of your justice system. Would you all say that with me? I think you already did. But would you say it with me one more time? Bitterness is what? The unresolved. Amen. Now, let's see a portrait of a man who had just that. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And I'll go through this as quickly as possible, but I am telling you this is a mystery. That when I saw this in my study, I went, oh wow. We come to 2 Samuel 15. And the first time Ahithophel is mentioned in the Bible is here. In 2 Samuel 15, verse number 10, it says this, but Absalom. Now we're going to get to Ahithophel in just a moment, but can I tell you this? If we're going to deal with bitterness, you can't get a better one than Absalom, let me tell you. We have a very bitter son right here. We have a son that is living with an unresolved violation of his justice system because dad wasn't the dad he should have been. And Absalom held on to things in his heart towards his father that says, man, what is your deal, Dad? You know what's gone on. You know what's happened, and you haven't dealt with it. And Absalom is a bitter guy. But let me tell you about Absalom. We're talking about tall, dark, and handsome. We're talking about the entire package. We're talking winsome. We're talking funny. We're talking great. I mean, Absalom has got it. Absalom is, he can just draw emotions. Absalom is incredible. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel saying, you know what this bitter guy's going to do? He's going to take over his father's kingdom. As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. I love this next verse. This next verse, look at this. Verse number 11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem. Man, he's got 200 men already following. Yeah, wait till you see who they are. They were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. In other words, he had 200 teenagers with him. And just joking. Okay? And he had 200 people that knew not. Isn't that an incredible description, though? He got 200 people with him that knew not anything. Look at verse 12. And Absalom sent for everyone together. The first time in the Bible he's mentioned. Absalom sent for who? Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor. Well, there you go, Brother Scheller. We got it, man. That's not bad. You know who he is? David's counselor. Can we go now? Not yet. He is David's counselor, but I got a question for you already. And the first time was when I was reading this, I'm thinking to myself, whoa, what's David's counselor joining Absalom? If he's David's counselor, should he not be loyal to David? Well, what do we got going here? I don't have any idea, concept, when I was studying this. I have no idea who Ahithophel is yet, but I thought, okay, there's one thing I know. Birds of a feather flock together. And there's something I know right now. Absalom, I know, is a bitter son. If Ahithophel is following Absalom, what do I know about Ahithophel? I know he's bitter. I haven't gone anywhere in my study yet, but I'm thinking, why would David's counselor join with Absalom unless he's got a bitter spirit? Now, I don't know what he's bitter about. I don't know what his unresolved violation of his justice system is. But I'm telling you, I know the guy's bitter. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, which he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Absalom's winning this thing. And Ahithophel is there. First time he's mentioned. Look over in verse 31, the second time he's mentioned. Now here's what happens. Absalom takes over the kingdom, and David gets out of Dodge just in time. I mean, David almost gets killed, but he gets out with a few of his mighty men, his few of his warriors, and they get out of town, and they're hiding. While they're hiding, here comes a guy. Verse number 31. And one told David, saying, you could just see this guy coming, and you could just say, David, guess what? Guess what, David, guess who joined? Guess who joined with Absalom? And you could just see David go, no, don't say. David, guess what? Don't say it. Guess Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Oh, and David said, oh, Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Oh, God, not Ahithophel. Oh, Lord, not Ahithophel joining with Absalom. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, I love this guy, Hushai. Can you all say that one? Hushai. Every person in life needs a Hushai. A Hushai is the guy that comes alongside of you. He is, you know what I call him? He's the golden retriever of the Old Testament. Hushai is just this loyal guy that's just there. He's just that dog that's just there, that golden retriever that just, I'm here for you. Now look at this Hushai. I love this guy. He says, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent, earth upon his head. You know, sometimes when those football players get that dirt in their clods, in their helmet, you know, well, Hushai had it in his hair, you know. He's coming. He got, you know, he came out of Jerusalem. He says, man, David, I was looking for you, man. I'm here for you. And unto whom David said, listen, Hushai, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. Oh, no, man, I'm here for you, David. You name it, man, I'm your man. I'll do anything. Okay, I got an idea, Hushai. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king. No, David, I'm with you. Just a second. Be quiet, Hushai. As I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Hushai, let me tell you. I just found out Ahithophel joined with Absalom. He did! Yeah. I got to tell you what I want you to do. You're not going to help me here, but here's how you can help me. Go back. Tell Absalom you've joined with him. And here's all I want you to do. Whatever Ahithophel says, you do the opposite. You tell Absalom the opposite. You be my spy. You be my help there. That's what you want? Yeah. Okay. Hushai goes back and joins with Absalom as David's spy. The next time. Now this, by the way, this is the key, this is one of the key ones. Look at with me in chapter 16 at verse number 20, the third time we see Ahithophel mentioned in the Bible. This one's going to blow you out. When you read this, you're not going to believe this. This is the third time Ahithophel is mentioned in the Bible. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. All right, he's got the kingdom now, and he says to Ahithophel, hey Ahithophel, what do you think I ought to do? Now, I need your help. What's the definition of bitterness? Everyone together? Unresolved violation of your justice system. If you've got an unresolved violation of your justice system, what's the number one thing you want? What do you want? You want justice. Ahithophel, what should we do? Oh, folks, you've got to get this. Ahithophel says, okay, here's what I want you to do. Unresolved violation of his justice system. Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. Have you ever heard of that place before? That's where David one night looked and saw Bathsheba on the top of the house. Listen to what Ahithophel says. Remember now, Ahithophel wants justice. If I asked you tonight, when Nathan came in to tell David his sin, remember the sin with Bathsheba, and it was finally confronted with it? If I asked you tonight, did David get consequences for his sin? Your answer would be yes. By the way, forgiveness is never the absence of consequences. And so there's consequences, though he was forgiven of his sin. If I asked you what the consequences were, every one of you in here would probably say he lost the baby. And you would be 50% right. That is not the only consequence that he got. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan said two things. He said, the sword will never leave your family. You're going to lose the baby. And listen, and your wives and your concubines are going to be shamed in front of all of Israel. That which you have done in private is now going to be shown in public. Okay, now, Ahithophel knew what Nathan said. And so what does Ahithophel want? He wants justice. I don't know what he's bitter about yet. I don't know who he is yet. But he wants justice for David. So he says, all right, David already lost his son, but there's something else that hasn't happened yet. Here's what you do, Absalom. You go take a tent, you put it up on that stinking roof where he sinned from, and you take all his concubines, and you take all his wives, and you have your way with them, and you shame David in front of all the things. Isn't this interesting? This guy wants David to get justice. Well, Brother Scheller, why? I don't know at this point either. I'm reading this, and I'm going, what in the world is with this Ahithophel guy? But look at this next point. Look at the next verse, 20, 21. Look at verse 22. So they spread Absalom a tent. Oh, look at the last one, verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Can I tell you this? There is not another description in the entire Bible but Jesus that anyone spoke as God spoke than right here. Well, Brother Shelter, right? You just threw me a curve. I know, it threw me a curve too. Is this saying that when Ahithophel spoke, it was as if God spoke? Yeah. Well, I thought you told me he was bitter. He is. Yeah, but now it says that he speaks like God speaks. He does. And every Sunday school teacher and every deacon and every pastor and every minister of God in this church and in this community that's here tonight, you listen to these words. You can have bitterness in your heart and get behind the sacred desk and preach, let me tell you. And you know what? God can even bless your words. It's not your life he's blessing. It's his truth he's blessing. And I want you to know this. This man spoke as the oracles of God. I'll never forget. When I first become pastor down at the Campus Church of Pensacola, we had a man come that many of you that have been around fundamentalism for years would know the name in a moment. He came on a Wednesday night and he preached. And I will tell you, in my 31 years at Pensacola, it was without a doubt one of three nights that I sensed the Holy Spirit on the church and the student body like never before. It was unbelievable. Invitation went over an hour and a half, 2 hours. College students getting things right. It was unbelievable what was happening. Come to find out some months later that the man who preached that night, that I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit used his words that night, was in sin and immorality, and he was living in that sin the night that he preached at the campus church. And I always struggled with that. But I want to tell you something, friend. God will bless his word and not bless the man. And Ahithophel spoke as the oracles of God, but this guy is full of bitterness. Now, look at the next, chapter 17 is the next time he's mentioned. Chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, And I will come upon him while he is weary, weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. Now, I got to do something really quick for this story. I got to tell you something that I didn't know at this point. Ahithophel is an old man. You say, where does it say that? Well, I'm going to tell you at the end, okay? But I'm telling you, Ahithophel's an old man here. And I didn't know that when I read it, but I want to tell you this scene. Ahithophel is an old man, comes to Absalom and says, Absalom, I tell you what you need to do. You give me 12,000 men, and I'll go out, and I'll get David myself, and I'll kill him, and I'll bring his head back on a platter, and I'll kill him. You say, Brother Shelley, you're kidding. That's exactly what Ahithophel said. He says, I'll go get him myself, and I'll kill him, and I'll bring him back to you. You say, wow. Bless you. You'll say, well, you say, wow, this guy's bitter? Oh, yeah, he's bitter. Matter of fact, he's so bitter that even Absalom is like, whoa, man, take it easy, old man. Maybe I better get some other counsel. Where's Hushai? That's what happens. Absalom picks up that Ahithophel. Wow. He says, I'll go out and kill him myself. He says, you know what? I better get somebody else's counsel here. Hushai, bring Hushai in. Hushai comes running in. He says, yes, sir, I'm your servant. Yes, sir, what can I do for you? Hey, Hushai, let me ask you a question. What do you think I should do now that I got the kingdom? What did Ahithophel say? Well, Ahithophel says that we should go get him right now. He says he'll go get him right now, give him 12,000 men. He'll go get him right now. What do you think we should do? Ahithophel said, go get him right now? Yeah. I don't think you ought to do that. That's exactly what that chapter is all about, chapter 17. Hushai says, no, I don't think you ought to do that. You know, right now, your dad's upset with you. Yeah, I know. He's kind of like a wounded animal. That's the analogy that Hushai gives. He says, he's like a wounded animal. You go out after him right now, man. He's going to get you. You're right. Ahithophel's a little too emotional on this. I think you're right, Hushai. Do you know if Absalom listens to Ahithophel, David's a goner. But he listened to Hushai, and David's life was spared. But look at the next verse that he's mentioned in verse 23 of this chapter. Folks, this is powerful. And when Ahithophel, verse 23, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he followed that Absalom followed Hushai, look what he does. He saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Brother Shelley, Ahithophel went home and killed himself. Yeah, he committed suicide. Now, here's a huge statement. I know I got to be careful with this statement, but friend, I got to tell you something. I've been in ministry for 33 years. I have done suicide funerals of teenagers as well as adults. And I'm going to tell you this. I think if you follow the branch down the limb, and you follow the limb down the trunk, and you follow the trunk to the root, I think you will find. And I know that there may be some very emotional situations in this room. I do not know. But I am going to tell you honestly. I think if you follow the trunk all the way down to the root, that the root of all suicide is an unresolved violation of somebody's justice system. There's bitterness at the root of it, man. There is bitterness at the root of what's going on. And friend, if you want to disagree with me, that's okay. I'm not here to debate that tonight. I'm really not. I will tell you this. If you have bitterness, you are committing spiritual suicide. You are killing yourself spiritually. And he went home and he hung himself because of the bitterness, the unresolved violation of his justice system that he could never see justice against David. He goes and kills himself. Wow, Brother Shetland. Who is this guy? I'm wondering the same thing at this point. I'm going, this guy is so bitter, he killed himself. And I got my Strong's Concordance on. And I have one more passage with Ahithophel's name in the book, in the Bible. And I'm going, wow, let's look this up. Who is this guy? 2 Samuel 23, verse 34. The last time Ahithophel is mentioned in the Bible. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 34. Now, I'm taking my Bible and I'm turning to this. And young people, thank you for paying attention over here. And I mean that. I can see you guys studying the Word. And I know it's late. I know you got school tomorrow. Thank you for listening. It really gets cool in a minute, let me tell you. So I'm taking my Bible and I'm going over to 2 Samuel 23. And I'm thinking, 2 Samuel 23, 2 Samuel 23, 2 Samuel. I got some messages. 2 Samuel 23. It's David's mighty men. You know, at the end of his life, he goes through and he mentions all the mighty men that he had in his kingdom. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm turning my pages, and I'm thinking, and I love those guys in there. You know this guy named Dodo? I like Dodo. Dodo's a cool guy. He really is. There's a guy named Shamgar that holds onto a sword that after they get done fighting, they can't get the sword out of his hand. You know, there's a guy that jumps in and kills these lions in the winter down in the, I mean, it's just really cool. There's a lot of neat guys in this chapter, you know. And I'm thinking, Ahithophel is one of his mighty men? And you know what? He's not. No, there's no way. But his son is. And I thought, oh, wow, this is really something. Look over at verse 34. Last time Ahithophel is mentioned in the Bible. Ahilaphat, verse 34, the son of Abishai, he's going through all the mighty men, the son of the Maacathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Now, I'm in my office, and I'm out of my chair now, okay? I'm out of my chair right now, and I'm going, oh, man. I have no idea who Ahithophel is yet. This is the last passage. I have no idea who Ahithophel is, but this is too cool. Because Ahithophel has a son. His son is Eliam. Eliam is not bitter. He's one of David's mighty men. And I think to myself, whatever is going on here made Ahithophel bitter and made Eliam better. Now, outside of the cross being the answer to bitterness, second most important statement in this entire message. Everything in your life will either make you bitter or better. Whatever has happened in your life, you can go through cancer and get bitter or better. You can go through a financial crisis and get bitter or better. You can go through anything in your life and you can get bitter or better. Ahithophel, bitter. His son, Eliam, better. I don't know who he is yet, but I am telling you this. This guy got bitter. Eliam, his son, ended up being one of David's mighty men. And friend, I don't care what you've gone through in your life. I don't care what's happened in your life. You can be better or you can be bitter. Oh, I'm sitting in my office and I'm ready to call Steve Rouse. Because I'm going, man, I don't know who he is. I've gone through, there's no more verses on Ahithophel in the Bible. And I'm sitting in my office and I'm going, Eliam. Well, who is this Eliam guy? I look in the Strong's Concordance two times. Here, and the other is the answer to who Ahithophel is. The other place where Eliam is mentioned is in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Would you turn back to there? 2 Samuel chapter 11. And when I read this verse, I found out who Ahithophel was. And have you ever, at Christmas time, have you ever, like, you know, had a family puzzle? You know, you guys all put together, and you started at Thanksgiving, and you don't finish it till Christmas Eve, you know, and you got all the pieces out. And those first few weeks, nobody's doing anything. You know, they got the straight edge pieces around the border, and that's about it, you know. And then everybody starts getting into it, and then there's, like, you know, like maybe 30 pieces left, and all of a sudden, doom, 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 doom. And you go like, oh, I got it, and everything puts together really quick. Well, here's we go now. All the pieces of the puzzle come together. 2 Samuel chapter 11, let's start at verse 2. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. I'm thinking, okay, this is the story of David and Bathsheba. Look at verse number 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of who, folks? Eliam. Uh-oh. I just figured this out. Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandpa. And I went, oh, I know what happened. I am sure as they walked around the palace after the Bathsheba scandal, Bathsheba gate, you know, after they walked around the palace, I'm sure Ahithophel came around a corner and he'd see two guys talking. Hey, Ahithophel, what are you talking about? Oh, just, you know, the weather here in Jerusalem. They're not talking about the weather. They're talking about my granddaughter. You know, everybody in this city thinks this David guy is the guy. Everybody in this city thinks David's the big Goliath killer. I think he's immoral, and I think he's a pervert, and I think he ought to be judged. And we have a grandpa that has an unresolved violation of his justice system. We have a grandpa that is not doing well with this. Man, David, I am so sick and tired of you. David this and David this and oh, King David, a man after God's own heart. I think he's a pervert. I think he's immoral. I think he's wicked. I think he ought to be judged. My granddaughter's name has been put in the mud. My grandson-in-law was one of the best guys you'll ever know. Uriah was a man of men, not like you, David. Uriah was a warrior. And look what you did. You ruined our family and everything. I hate you, David. And I will get back at you, David. Eliam found a tree. Ahithophel tried to find justice. And I am telling you, friend, if you don't go to the tree, you are not going to make it through life. You can go through your life as an Ahithophel, or you can go through your life as an Eliam. But it's not right that they get away with it, Brother Shetler. You know what? Let God be the judge, man. Let God be the judge. You go to the tree, and you think, you know what? Whatever they did to me is not as bad as what I did to Jesus Christ. And I ask Jesus to forgive me. And God, I forgive that person. God, I choose by my will to reconcile with them by erasing the debt that they owe me and live with the consequences. I will forgive them. And friend, I will tell you, Ahithophel is the grandpa of Bathsheba. I preached this at a camp one day, and a teenage boy comes up to me afterwards, and he says, hey, Brother Shetler, that message you preached tonight on Ahithophel, that was kind of cool. He said, do you ever think this out? That if he hadn't killed himself, his great-grandson would have been Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. He was like the coolest counselor there ever was. And I went, wow, son, that's good. Ahithophel, though his counsel was as the oracles of God, never got to hold the wisest king Israel ever had. His great-grandson would have been Solomon had he ever resolved the bitterness issue. And my friends, some of you are never going to receive the blessings that God has for you because you can't get through what somebody has done to you. I just want to tell you, friend, if there is anything you get from tonight, do this. Go to the tree. Go to Calvary. Bitterness is the unresolved violation of your justice system. Get it right tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We went a long time, and you guys listened so well. And I give you my word that tomorrow you'll hear the shortest message Brother Shetler ever preached. And I mean that. But there's just no way to preach this message and not give it its full worth. And I just want to encourage you tonight, friend. If you're in this church, you know what will start revival in this church? When you go to the tree and you see it. And there's some teenagers that are bitter at their parents, and there's some teenagers that need to get right with God tonight and their moms and dads tonight. There's young people in this room tonight that need to get right with each other. They need to get right with somebody at school. There are senior saints in this auditorium that, my friend, you have had an unresolved violation of your justice system about somebody else in this church for a decade. And you haven't gotten it right. They're even gone now. They're not even in this church anymore. But the bitterness is still there. There are divorced people in this auditorium tonight that you still hold bitterness towards your spouse, towards your first spouse, your first marriage, whatever it may be. Brother Shuttler, they were unfaithful. And what they did to me was wrong. I absolutely agree with you. So either you can hold court every day of your life for the rest of your life, or you can go to the tree and realize that what you did to Jesus is worse than what your former spouse did to you. And you can get it right. It would not surprise me that there are some individuals in here that have been molested, and you have been sexually abused and physically abused. And you say, Brother Scheller, it'll never be right what my parent did, what my uncle did. It'll never be right. No, it will never be right, my friend. But I will tell you this. You can go through the rest of your life as an Ahithophel, or you can let that event actually turn you into an Eliam and say, by God's grace, I let it go. And there are husbands and wives in here, and the Bible says, husbands, do not be bitter at your wives. There are some of you that are bitter at your wife tonight. And you know what? You come to church, you're even a deacon in this church, but you hold an unresolved violation towards your spouse, towards your children. Your children have embarrassed you because they've done something, and you are bitter at your son or your daughter. You need to be down at an altar at the cross tonight and say, dear God, tonight I get it right. Hey, I want to encourage you. If you want to see revival in this church, go to the tree and resolve that justice system that you have never been able to take care of, and realize that Christ loves you and you did worse than whatever anyone's ever done to you. And you give that person forgiveness and you ask God to give you forgiveness. And tonight, resolve it at this altar. In just a moment, the piano is going to begin to play. And if God has spoken to your heart tonight, if you need counsel, there are counselors here. But you know what? Maybe the counselors tonight may need to get right with God. Maybe there's people on this church staff that need to get right with God. And I will tell you, I'm just being as transparent as I can. I have probably preached this message 30 to 40 times in my life. And there have been many times that God, in a hotel room before, or in a cabin before I preached it at a camp, where God got a hold of my heart and said, Lord, I got to get this thing right before I preach. And I just want to tell you tonight, you can be an Ahithophel or an Eliam. If God is speaking to your heart tonight, would you get it right? Would you get forgiveness and give forgiveness and resolve that violation of your justice system at the cross?